Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I know many of you can't make it here in person, but you could join us on our live stream, which is found on our website, which is www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, chat, worship, pray, connect, and grow in grace. If you miss those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship, and click on any of the services. Our children's messages are always wonderful. Our weekly worship services, and our weekly sermons. Our prayer is that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, and sow seeds of faith. Well, last week we began our little series called In Christ, In Christ. For a pastor doing a series, it's a busy time, and doing a fall series is a busy time because you got all the fall programming, holiday messages, Advent, Christmas, New Year, Lent, Holy Week, Easter, and Pentecost, all coming up. So you're planning and preparing for all those events. The Seed's mission statement is filled with those action words, know, grow, go, sow. And at one time, our church had little wristbands to help us remember, know God's love, grow in Christ's grace, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and sow seeds of faith. Wow. That is a great thing to do. Today, we're going to spend some time with the Apostle Paul. We will look at the opening of his letter to the church in Ephesus, and then we'll turn our attention to Paul's words to the church in Colossus. Before we begin our study today, let us stop and pray. God of all grace, we come today to grow in your grace. We come to hear your words of peace and mercy. May your peace still the storms in our lives. May your peace be always present in the busyness of our daily lives, in our work, our family, our schools, and communities. Come, Holy Spirit, grow your grace in us today. Grant us the peace that passes all understanding. We pray for our world and for all who need your grace on this day. Amen. Grab your Bible. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we have a couple in our church that's giving out one-year Bibles. Email me at Pastor Dave and we'll send you a one-year Bible. Here's Ephesians 1, 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 4. Now listen how he puts it in Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 14 verses. Faith comes by hearing the word, so let's hear the word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth, You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of the Lord, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Wow. Back in, I think it was 2017, a friend asked me to write a brief essay on faith for him. He said it would have to be 250 words or less. He said he was not looking for a dissertation or a sermon. He told me that he would be taking it with him to Rome for a missionary conference. The conference was held to commemorate the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses on the door of the Wittenberg Castle. My friend's goal was to produce 95 different points for the church to discuss that year. The program my friend was presenting in Rome was called 95-4-2-Day, 94-2-Day, 95-4-2-Day. To be honest with you, I was a little overwhelmed when he asked me of that. Then I thought to myself, 250 words? Well, that's no problem. A weekly sermon is over 3,000 words. So I thought I'd try and tackle it. Then I thought to myself, 250 words? I put it off. I know, I put it off. And I put it off. And after many attempts, I finally sat down and wrote an essay and emailed it to my friend. In the process of trying to draft my essay on faith, I came across many quotes from some of the powerful voices of the church, voices that have helped inspire the church to hold fiercely onto faith. I thought I would share a few with you today as we turn to the topic of faith. This is from St. Augustine. St. Augustine said, "Understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, do not seek to understand in order to believe, but believe that you may understand." Now, that's deep. Martin Luther, the Reformer, he put it this way: "It is not from works that we are set free by the faith of Christ, but from the belief in works, that is, from foolishly presuming to seek justification through works. Faith redeems our conscience, makes them upright, and preserves them, since by it we recognize the truth that justification does not depend on our works. Although good works neither can nor ought to be absent, just as we cannot exist without food and drink and all the functions of the mortal body." John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, said, "There is the analogy of faith. It is a master key which not only opens particular doors, but carries you through the whole house." Wow. He also wrote this: "This is faith, a renouncing of everything we are apt to call our own and relying wholly upon the blood, righteousness, and intercession of Jesus." J.C. Ryle, a wonderful pastor and teacher, put it this way: "Faith is to prayer what the feather is to the arrow. Without it, prayer will not hit the mark." So what is faith to you? That's the question that I'm going to ask you today. What is faith to you? That's a good "so what" question to wrestle with. You can email me at Pastor Dave. What is faith to you? Hebrews 11:1-2 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients are commended for." I often think of the 12 disciples after Pentecost. It was their job to build the church. Somehow Jesus had inspired their faith through His teaching, His death, His resurrection, and it was their job to tell the world. I always say, put yourself in the story, and then put the story in you. Today is really no different. Jesus has commissioned us to build the church. Let me say that again. Jesus has commissioned us to build the church. Listen again to Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients are commended for. How did these 12 disciples build the church? Faith. So what is your faith? Email me at PastorDave@TheSeed Christian Fellowship. What is your faith? Well, Paul puts it this way. It's found in Christ. When we read the two passages today from Ephesians and Colossians, we find the Apostle Paul writing from a prison cell in Rome. Paul had made three missionary trips from Jerusalem to many of these cities and churches to which he's writing. He had been in Ephesus. It was in Ephesus where Paul spent most of his time. Now he wrote to the church he loved. He told them that God finds them faithful and wants to bless them. Listen again to the opening lines of Ephesians. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Did you hear it? Can you see it? To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Boy, wouldn't that be nice if we heard that? To the faithful, well, in Rancho Cucamonga, the faithful in Christ Jesus, the faithful in Los Angeles, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Put your city in, put your town in. To the faithful saints in Christ Jesus. Paul called them saints. Go back to the times when that was written. Only a few Old Testament prophets, people, and a few angels were even given the title of saints. For Paul to apply the title saint to the pagan Greeks was, well, it was nothing more than mind-blowing. John Calvin said this about the title saint: no man is a believer who is not also a saint, and on the other hand, no man is a saint who is not a believer. You've been listening to the Seed of Faith brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. We're so blessed that you listen. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. John Calvin, I'm going to go back to him again. He said, no man is a believer who is not also a saint. And on the other hand, a man is a saint who is not a believer. No man is a saint who is not a believer. Paul called the people of the church in Colossus holy. The word saint means holy one, set apart or consecrated. As Paul writes, the word saint described what had happened in the hearts of the faithful in the church of Ephesus and in Colossus. These faithful people were saints despite the fact they lived in the shadow of the pagan temples. They were saints amidst the moral decay of Asia Minor. They were saints as they lived their lives as shopkeepers, homemakers, fishermen, sailors, tent makers, carpenters, and raising their children. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever considered yourself holy or a saint? Exactly why were they referred to as saints? Because they believed. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed that God raised Jesus from the dead. They believe, therefore, they were saints. Paul says they are saints because they are faithful. They were found in Christ. In Ephesians, Paul writes they were faithful in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't you want that to be said about you? You were faithful in Christ Jesus? I want it to be said about me. He says they were faithful in Christ Jesus. For the saints in Colossus, Paul says, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. Think of that statement. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. These believers were found to have faith in Christ Jesus during their everyday lives. They held on to their faith in Christ Jesus during the struggles, pain, and suffering of their daily lives. They held on to their faith in Christ Jesus even when all the other people in the city went after pagan gods. As I thought of this statement, I thought, what would people say about me? Would they say that they have heard of my faith in Christ Jesus? How do people find me in the midst of my everyday life? Will people know that I have faith in Christ Jesus by the way I act, by the way I talk, by the way I walk? Will people find me faithful in Christ Jesus by the way I react to trials, tribulations, and testings? Will I be found in Christ Jesus? Better yet, a good so what question. Will you be found in Christ Jesus? Will you be found in Christ Jesus? Put your name in there. I put St. Patty or St. John or St. Dave or St. Paul or St. Sergio. Or put your name in there, St. Jacqueline. Put your name in there. To be found in Christ Jesus means that we have faith in Christ Jesus. Let me say that again. To be found in Christ Jesus means that we have faith in Christ Jesus. In our reading today in Colossians, we have a trinity of the qualities of believers: faith, love, and hope. Faith is listed first. The Apostle Paul was extremely specific about their faith. Their faith was in Christ Jesus. The object of their faith was Christ Jesus. Faith by itself has no real intrinsic value. Many people say they have faith. Some people have faith in their bank accounts. Some have faith in their abilities and education. Some have faith, in faith. I have heard some say they have faith in reincarnation or karma. Faith by itself or in something other than Jesus Christ, it will not hold you up or bring you home to heaven. I know, that's a hard statement. Salvation does not come by believing in belief or believing in a set of doctrines or a creed. Salvation comes by believing in Christ Jesus. When John G. Patton was translating the Bible in the Outer Hebrides, he searched for the exact word to describe believe. Finally, he found it. Faith, he said, is to lean your whole weight upon. That's how he translated it. Faith, to lean your whole weight upon. Salvation comes by believing in Christ, putting your whole weight, your whole life, your whole being upon Christ. That's what it means. Look at Paul as he writes to the saints in Colossus in verse 4. He says, "Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you." Chuck Colson tells a story in his book, Born Again. When Colson was serving his prison sentence after the Watergate scandal, his newfound faith in Christ was severely tested. His wife did not understand the quote-unquote born-again business. His son was picked up on drug charges, and Colson himself was despondent. But God met him in his misery. A group of Christians in Washington, including Senators Hatfield, Hughes, and Q, were praying for him. Senator Q discovered an old law that allowed an innocent man to serve a prison term for another, and Senator Q volunteered to serve the remainder of Colson's term. Colson turned him down, but he had experienced what the Apostle Paul had written about: love for all the saints. Charles Colson was again refreshed in the reality of his faith in Christ. Sometimes I stand absolutely amazed by God. Sometimes I can hardly take in the depth and width, the length and height of how much God loves me. He loves you. And God sets the entire stage for me when I'm working on a message. Today's message goes back to 2017, when little Emma Harley was admitted to the hospital for tests. Her parents, a former youth group member who had gone on mission trips with us, thought she had the flu, but it had gone on too long. My wife and I left for Florida on May 25th, 2017. As we drove, John Parley, Emma's dad, called and said, "I am dying here, Pastor Dave. Give me a verse to hang on to." We stayed in contact with John, sending him verses every day. John was in our youth group in the mid-90s. He has a twin brother, Tim, and an older brother, Ben. We had taken the Parley boys with us on mission trips and taught them Sunday school for years. When I was in seminary, the Parley boys delivered a month's worth of frozen crock pot meals to our home. The boys nicknamed me Hurricane Dave as we rebuilt homes on a go-and-serve trip in Florida. I married Ben in La Jolla. Hearing John's cry broke my heart. When Jack and I got home on Father's Day, Jack asked for Jesus class to pray for Emma. Then, by then, Emma was having surgery, chemo, and radiation. As the weeks ensued, Emma lost her hair and lay in bed for weeks. The Jesus class, that's what we call our children's ministry, kept praying. And then at the end of August, the kids asked if they could do something more than pray. Can we send a blessing box to Emma? You know, with stuff a little six-year-old would like. My wife, Jacqueline, waited for the leaders' meeting and got permission. The blessing box for Emma and her family was filled to overflowing with blessings for little Emma. We really are saints because we are expressing our faith in Christ Jesus by sharing our love of God with Emma and her family and so many others throughout all the years. We are saints when we express our love by taking up an offering for hurricane relief. We are saints when we show our faith in Christ Jesus by sharing the love of God through a noisy Sunday, which we just had at church. We are saints when we show our faith in Christ Jesus when we help someone with the church mouse funds. All these events show the love of Christ through our faith in Christ. We are saints who are now sowing seeds of faith everywhere we go. Now, today, Emma is alive. She's in high school. Power of the believing saints. As believers, the people of Ephesus and Colossus were in Christ. Scripture teaches us that we are in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Archaeologists tell us that many of the nameless slabs in the catacombs of Rome carry the inscription, In Christo. In Christ, and significantly also bore the same slab is the corollary in pas, or in peace, testifying to the radical newness and joy which came in Christ. Being in Christ, wow, that's a powerful thing. Being in Christ gives us a reason to celebrate as Paul and the ancient Christians did. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not say. See, faith in Christ is the master key that opens every other door and allows us full access to every room in Christ's home and allows Christ full access into every room in our hearts. Your so what for this week is to take this list of questions home and find some quiet time. Read down, am I in Christ? I have this sheet. I'll email it to you. Does my faith in Christ propel me to plant seeds of faith everywhere I go? As Christians, our entire identity is found in Christ. It's time to leave our infant and toddler and preteen ways behind and enter into a new life in Christ. Love of God, oh, how He loves us. Grace of Jesus Christ, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Power of the Holy Spirit, welcoming us in this place. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give thanks that you love us with an unending love. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.